The United States spends more on their military than the next 9 countries combined. With around 450 bases, or maybe 500, or maybe 750, or maybe 800, no one seems to know, operating more than 111,000 installations in 80 or more countries, there's a lot to keep track of. In fact, no one is really sure how accurate any of these numbers are, since a lot of places are deemed classified or even top secret, and yes, cover stories have sometimes been deployed. Some of the things we do know about are pretty interesting and sometimes sad or infuriating, depending on your outlook. And yet, that's not enough for some folks who feel the need to fill in the gaps with long, complicated conspiracy narratives that are better suited to novels than the real world. Here's a look at a few U.S. military bases and installations, some of which are now closed and some of which are still open for business. Thank you for listening to this episode of Conspiracy Clearinghouse. All your base are belong to us. U.S. military installations. The title comes from a bad English translation of a 1991 port of a 1989 Japanese arcade video game called Zero Wing. The phrase started showing up as an internet meme in the early noughties, and then the website Something Awful shared an EDM dance video called Invasion of the Gabba Robots that included the phrase, a song made by a band called The Laziest Men on Mars, and then that took off like wildfire. I remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast, you can review us on IMDb and elsewhere, and you can donate via our Buy Me a Coffee page if you like what we do. You leave the world behind and enter a large chamber filled with boxes and crates as far as the eye can see. Welcome to the Conspiracy Clearinghouse. The podcast that takes a rather skeptical look at conspiracies and mysteries. Each episode will examine various conspiracy theories, most of which are not true, a few of which might be a little bit true, and even a couple that turned out, in fact, to be true. There are many boxes in the clearinghouse, and along the way, we'll look at some mysteries and hoaxes as well. We dare to look behind the curtain. That's behind the curtain. I'm your host, Derek DeWitt. Welcome to the Conspiracy Clearinghouse. Living in danger. This dance pop reggae fusion song by Swedish pop group Ace of Base was the 7th single from their 1992 debut album. For many of us who came of age in the 80s, our first image of what a secretive U.S. military base looks like came from the 1983 John Badham movie War Games. Our hero, played by a young Matthew Broderick, ends up at the HQ of NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command. It's mainly a huge room carved out inside of a mountain. While NORAD's headquarters are indeed near the town of Colorado Springs, about 60 miles south of Denver, as is the main base of the United States Northern Command, or U.S. NORTHCOM, both are currently housed at Peterson Air Force Base, which has now been renamed Peterson Space Force Base. This base also contains elements of Space Systems Command, Space Base Delta 1, and the 21st Space Wing of Space Force, as well as a whole bunch of other military stuff. Peterson is one busy little base. What that movie set was supposed to resemble was more like the Cheyenne Mountain Complex, which is also in the area. Now, NORAD used to be located there, but moved to Peterson in 2008. This complex is 2,000 feet underground and has 15 buildings, 13 of them 3 floors tall and 2 of them 2 stories tall, all of which set on a complex series of flexible pipes and over 1,000 huge springs. This buffer system means the buildings will never move more than a single inch, no matter how big a bomb is dropped on the mountain above. It's also shielded from EMP and has blast doors that can withstand a 30 megaton nuclear explosion from as close as 1.2 miles away. Cheyenne Mountain is also almost wholly self-sustainable for things like air and water filtration, electricity generation, and the like. In fact, there are 5 lakes inside the mountain that can be tapped for fresh water if need be. The plot of the movie War Games is that a complex computer used by the military to simulate nuclear war scenarios, but also monitor real-time data about missiles, kind of starts to hallucinate. Or maybe not, no one really knows. It starts issuing warnings of an imminent Soviet nuclear attack, but is that real, or is it a war game that's running? Interestingly, the script is based on actual events that occurred right here at Cheyenne Mountain in the 70s and early 80s. False missile warnings were issued by monitoring systems, which turned out to be a computer chip that, quote, went haywire. So, for a while, the higher-ups were worried that the U.S. might receive false notifications of an attack thanks to a technical glitch and inadvertently start World War III. But then, they fixed the problem. Today, Cheyenne Mountain has a much smaller staff and is in what's called warm standby mode. The tunnel from the entrance to the main complex is over 2 miles long and is curved to avoid some gold mines in the mountain. The 350 or so weekday workers have to take a bus to their offices and workstations. They used to give tours of part of the facility, but stopped this after 9/11 and when 1990s era doomsday preppers and New World Order conspiracy folks started hanging around the main gate to get a glimpse. In the 2014 Christopher Nolan film Interstellar, NASA's base of operations has been relocated to Cheyenne Mountain. NASA moved in because it was abandoned and NASA was being ignored by the current government. Cheyenne Mountain is also the main base in the Stargate SG-1 series and spin-offs, and it's where Skynet has its main base of operations in the PS2 and Xbox video game The Terminator: Dawn of Fate. So this is what many people imagine when they think of an underground military base. The Soviets had something very similar, though nothing's been conclusively proven. One candidate for a secretive underground base is Mount Yamantau, the highest peak in the southern Ural Mountains in Bakortostan. The name means evil mountain, and many locals think it got its name from the many pitfalls in the area, rockfalls and landslides, swamps, and many, many bears. The Americans have certainly detected something there, though the Russians are cagey about it. The nearby town of Mezhgora is thought to have around 17,000 residents, yet it does not appear on any Russian maps, and outsiders are not allowed access to the town. Imagined versions of this complex have appeared in the video games Metro Exodus, where it's been appropriated by cannibals, and Call of Duty Black Ops, where a chemical weapon called Nova 6 was developed. Another possible Cheyenne Mountain-type spot is Kovinsky Kamen in the northern Urals, northeast of the city of Perm. This is actually the better possibility, and U.S. intelligence thought this was the command post for the Perimeter system, nicknamed Dead Hand. This system can automatically launch nuclear missiles if certain conditions are met, no humans needed. So this is a second strike system, sort of a dead man switch. If the U.S. attacked first and wiped out most command, the Russians could still manage to launch a bunch of missiles. This sounds suspiciously like the doomsday device in Stanley Kubrick and Terry Southern's script for the 1964 black comedy Dr. Strangelove, which is kind of based on the 1958 novel Red Alert by Peter George. The perimeter system is real and, as recently as 2008, was confirmed by the Russians as still operational. Happy Nation, the title track from Ace of Base's 1992 debut album. Since we're talking about mountains, let's take a quick gander at Granite Mountain, just outside Salt Lake City in Utah. This is not a military base, but a storage facility operated by the Mormon Church. It's where they keep the single largest collection of genealogical records in the world, as well as church documents and artifacts. Some of this has been digitized, and there's still plenty of stuff on microfilm and microfiche. All told, it's estimated they have 3.5 billion images. The general public is not allowed in, but you can take a virtual tour. Link in the episode notes. About 16 miles southwest of Granite Mountain, there's the Utah Data Center. This $2 billion facility opened in 2013, and it is also used to store data, but by the military. It's really just a huge server farm used by intelligence organizations. Its full name is the Intelligence Community Comprehensive National Cybersecurity Initiative Data Center. Whew. And though all intelligence agencies use it, it's run by the NSA. This is one of the locations for their PRISM surveillance program, which was being run from here and got the whistle blown on it by Edward Snowden in 2013. So if anyone in America is monitoring your emails and texts in what they call digital pocket lint, then they're probably doing it here. The Great Salt Lake Desert also holds the Dugway Proving Ground under the Army Test and Evaluation Command. It's out in the middle of nowhere, about 85 miles southwest of Salt Lake City, and it's big. The base is about the same size as the entire state of Rhode Island. During World War II, the military built a German village and a Japanese village here, little copies of small towns in those countries that were wholly accurate, right down to the materials used in construction and wiring. They then tested out various ways to firebomb these locations with the idea of starting a firestorm that would engulf the entire population center. During the Korean War, this site was used to test radiological, biological, and chemical weapons, which apparently it's still being used for today, as well as for developing countermeasures against the same. In the late 1950s, it was here that 52 trials of Project Bellwether were conducted, which was a plan to use mosquitoes infected with a weaponized biological agent against the population. As recently as 2015, tests for detecting and counteracting anthrax were conducted here. Aerial nerve agents have also been tested at the base. Over the years, more than 1,100 such tests have released 500,000 pounds of nerve agent material into the air over Dugway. In 1952, tests were conducted using M33 cluster bombs that were filled with a bacterium that causes infertility and spontaneous abortion in female pigs. These bombs were dropped not on swine, but on 11,000 guinea pigs to see if other species might also be affected the same way. These tests prompted one general to quip, quote, "Now we know what to do if we ever go to war against guinea pigs." That was all under the banner of the U.S. Army's Chemical Corps, which also ran a series of 12 operations codenamed CHASE, an acronym for Cut Holes and Sink 'em. This was using mothballed ships to dispose of munitions of various kinds. Weapons would be loaded onto the ship, and the ships would then be scuttled and sunk. The first CHASE operations involved explosives, but starting with CHASE 8, they added things like rockets filled with nerve agents and containers filled with GB and VX and mustard gas. In March 1968, 3,000 sheep in Skull Valley, about 30 miles north of Dugway, suddenly dropped dead. At first, the blame was placed on pesticides, but eventually it came out that this had been the result of open-air tests at Dugway of the nerve agent VX, first developed at the British base Portendown. More sheep would die over the next few days, bringing the total for the sheep kill incident, as it came to be known, to be between 6,000 and 6,400. This mishap was one of the motivators for President Richard Nixon to ban open-air chemical weapons testing the following year. The whole thing was hushed up, however, and it only came to public light in 1998 thanks to reporter Jim Wolfe of the Salt Lake Tribune. He'd become interested in Dugway after a General Accounting Office report written in 1994 said that, quote, hundreds, perhaps thousands of such tests have been conducted there between 1940 and 1974. That report specifically mentioned the nerve agent VX, as did another report, this one from the Army, that was specifically about the sheep kill incident. The DOD said they'd never published the report because it was too revealing, but Wolf managed to get a copy anyway. When he started writing about all this, the authorities had to come clean. Anyway, it's super creepy, secretive stuff. Much speculation about Dugway ensued, and so finally in 2018, they opened up part of the base to some reporters and let them have a limited tour. UFO folks have also made various claims of sightings there, always without evidence, and some call it the next Area 51. Dugway has taken all this in stride, making alien jokes on their social media. Tongue firmly in cheek, they sometimes refer to themselves as Area 52. Back in 2021, they had an event for people in the local communities where they set up alien-shaped targets for kids to shoot with airsoft guns. And in 2023, they held a Halloween costume race that they titled The Alien Invasion. Well, there's a lot of space out there in the Utah desert, so it should come as no surprise that there are other bases out there, like the Deseret Chemical Depot, about 40 miles northeast of Dugway, a chemical weapons storage facility that includes the Thule Chemical Agent Disposal Facility, where they actually dismantle and destroy chemical weapons, including sarin gas, mustard gas, and VX nerve agent. On September 5th, 2002, an unknown intruder wearing all black was seen on the base, but this person escaped before they could be apprehended. The entire place was shut down in 2013. Now, the Deseret Chemical Depot is not the same as the Deseret Test Center, which is at Fort Douglas, actually inside the city limits of Salt Lake City. It was here that Project 112 and Project SHAD were conducted. Project 112 looked at using aerosols to disperse biological or chemical agents, while SHAD, an acronym for Shipborne Hazard and Defense, looked especially at how vulnerable warships are to such attacks. These projects use intel gathered from the Japanese after World War II as part of Project Paperclip, who had conducted a lot of what you might call field tests of biological and chemical agents on populations of occupied areas. In 1971, Operation Red Hat involved actually moving chemical munitions that had been stored in Okinawa since the war to a U.S. base in the North Pacific. Now, the Deseret Test Center was closed in 1973 and only became known to the public in 2002. Fort Douglas is now really only used as an armed forces reserve center and has been scaled down. In fact, part of the fort's property was just given to the University of Utah, which is literally next door, and part of the Olympic Village for the 2002 Winter Olympics was built on former Fort Douglas land. Now, next door to Utah, there's still more desert, this time in Nevada, which also has its share of military installations. Now, you'd think a place called Battle Mountain would be one of those, but that's just an unincorporated town in Lander County with about 3,700 people. Tucked up at the northeast edge of Las Vegas, there's Nellis Air Force Base, which hosts close combat and close air support exercises, among other things. Including aliens, if UFO scammer Scott Waring has anything to say about it. He says there's an alien base located quite near Nellis, maybe under Frenchman Mountain, which got his name when a Belgian immigrant ran a fake mine investment scam here, but everybody thought he was French. Out of the western part of Nevada, there's a base so secretive, you can't even find it on a map. This is the Tolecha Peak Electronic Combat Range, where they conduct electronic warfare exercises. What is that? Nobody really knows. I mean, an Air Force electronic warfare officer is a skilled navigator who can detect, identify, and counter enemy radar, guided missiles, fighter jets, and the like, so maybe something like that? But no one really knows, because no one has said anything about what goes on there, on or off the record. Waiting for magic. This Eurodance dance pop song was another single from Ace of Base's debut album. Now, of course, when you think secretive Nevada base, you think of Area 51. Technically, this is a remote detachment of Edwards Air Force Base in Southern California, and the appellation Area 51 seems to be a Vietnam-era term. Other terms for it are Homie Airport, Groom Lake, which is a big salt flat on the property, Paradise Ranch, or sometimes just The Ranch, and Dreamland. The Air Force says it's a testing ground and open training range for experimental aircraft that they run on behalf of the CIA. After all, it has a runway that's 7 miles long. That's almost 4 times the average commercial airport runway. So all sorts of things can be tested there. But the conspiracosphere says many things. It's been used to create and test directed energy weapons or weather control weapons, or has recovered crashed alien tech, that it has dead alien bodies, that it has living aliens, that it houses interdimensional portals and or time travel gear, that is the headquarters of Majestic 12, which isn't a real thing but was talked about in a previous episode, and that the secret New World Order uses it as their main base. It's not really surprising that a place that tests experimental aircraft would have pretty odd sightings by civilians over the years. Back in the 50s, the U-2 was tested here as part of Project Aquatome. This flew as high as 60,000 feet. This is back when commercial planes only flew at 20,000. It had silvery wings that reflected the sunlight and gave it a kind of a fiery look. When Project Blue Book looked into some of the numerous UFO sightings from this area, almost all of them were resolved as either being the U-2 or the Lockheed A-12 high-altitude Mach 3 recon aircraft, codenamed Project Oxcart, which also had a unique appearance. Part of Oxcart and the Lockheed A-12 were a bunch of new facilities to conduct aerodynamic tests called Project 51, and this might be where Area 51 comes from. After Gary Powers went down in a U-2 over the USSR, the A-12 Oxcart was considered maybe to be used as an unpiloted drone, and this project was called Q-12, later renamed D-21 and Tagboard. In 1966, Iraqi fighter pilot Captain Munir Redfa defected when he flew a Soviet MiG-21 to Israel in an affair that was called Operation Diamond. Direct access to that technology led to several projects at Area 51 with quirky names like Have Donut, Have Drill, and Have Ferry. In 1977, Lockheed's experimental Have Blue stealth plane had its first test run here. This would later morph into the Lockheed F-117 Nighthawk, the first aircraft with stealth technology. Now, of course, there's a ton of secrecy about what's being developed and or tested here. It's become pretty clear that the F-22 and F-35 stealth fighters were built here, as was the B-21 stealth bomber, the RQ-181 stealth drone, and the super stealth Black Hawk helicopters that were used in the raid that killed Osama bin Laden. Conspiracists have fingered Area 51, Groom Lake, Dreamland, whatever you want to call it, as where the crashed spaceship and aliens from the supposed Roswell crash in 1947 were taken. Now, back then, there was an airbase here called Creech near the Groom Lake site, but the CIA didn't get involved here till 1955 when they started Project Aquatone to develop the U-2 spy plane. There are so many details about military projects that we do know about that this has led several in the conspiracy space to come up with their own detailed explanations, like that Majestic 12, or MJ-12, uses this base to monitor and communicate with four secret bases run by extraterrestrials located at various sites in the southwestern U.S. In fact, some say, MJ-12 manages the secret treaty signed back in the late 50s between then-President Eisenhower and some aliens. Like real military projects, conspiracy people have come up with all kinds of code names for their imaginary ones, like Pounce, which is an operation about retrieving downed spaceships, Red Light, which is about test piloting recovered spaceships, Snowbird, which is the cover story for Red Light activities. There's even a secret branch of Dreamland out in Maryland near Washington, D.C., conspiracy people say is codenamed Country Club, where politicos and business folks in the know get briefed. Needless to say, there's zero corroborating evidence for any of this. People have just made all this up. There's a lot more about Majestic 12, their acronyms, and their narrative threads in a previous episode called Scammers, Inc., link in the episode notes. A lot of these stories are much like the alien autopsy video that showed up in 1995, which claimed to be real footage from a real autopsy on a real alien conducted at Area 51. Desperate for ratings in the early days, Fox decided to air it. It would turn out, of course, to be a hoax created by two film producers, Ray Santilli and Gary Schofield. No surprise there. Now, of course, there's Sean David Morton, the man who says he was the first person to reveal the, quote, truth about Area 51. He also says he was part of the Project Stargate remote viewing experiments at Stanford and is one of the most naturally talented psychics in the world. He holds several degrees from various prestigious educational institutions. He helped Gene Roddenberry revive his TV show Star Trek and helped develop the first Star Trek film and later the show Star Trek The Next Generation. And then there's Bob Lazar, who claims to have all sorts of university degrees and says he actually worked at Area 51 in Sector 4, or S4, a smaller sub-facility out near Papoose Lake. There, he analyzed recovered alien tech and tried to back-engineer it into something the U.S. could use. He also saw living, talking aliens there. Over the years, he has supplied the conspiracy world with tons of tantalizing details. And let's not forget Dan Burrich, who worked at Area 51 as a microbiologist. There, he struck up a deep friendship with an alien from Zeta Reticuli named J-Rod, who telepathically told him all kinds of cool things about all the different aliens out there and a whole bunch of cool science stuff. Burrich, who of course is an off-the-charts genius, used what J-Rod told him to discover the Ganesh particle, which can open up space-time wormholes. Wow, right? Except Majestic 12 was made up by Bill Moore, a self-styled UFO researcher who is possibly one of the origins for the whole Roswell UFO crash story, the Philadelphia experiment narrative, the harassment of Paul Benowitz and the start of the Dulce base stories, and, of course, Majestic 12. The Majestic 12 stuff is actually based on notes he had for a novel that he tried to get someone to ghostwrite for him in 1982 about a secret group he called at the time Magic 12, And then he repurposed these notes in 1984 into the top secret, quote, documents about a group called Majestic 12. Now, Sean David Morton and his wife were arrested in 2016 on various felony charges. They were nabbed getting off the annual Conspiracy Cruise, which is a yearly conspiracy theorist party and conference in international waters. Morton had been a paid speaker that year on how to use sovereign citizen arguments to avoid paying taxes. His story is a long and wild one, and yeah, might get its own episode someday, but suffice it to say he was found guilty in April 2017, sentenced to 6 years, but then got transferred to home confinement in January 2021 because COVID-19 was raging through prison populations. Now, Bob Lazar is a convicted pimp and a big fan of fireworks who once worked for a contractor that supplied something to the Area 51 base. Some say Lazar was the guy that drove the truck that brought in food and other perishable supplies. And Dan Burrich is a pseudonym for Danny Crane, a former parole officer who fell in love with one of the women he was overseeing who'd been arrested on drug charges. The two of them have run a series of low-level scams in the Las Vegas area. Sad things, not interesting things, like they won't pay rent for months at a time and then skip out. However, he keeps pestering Congress about the secrets of Area 51. Oh, and his wife says she works for Majestic 12. So yeah, none of that is true at all. But for those that want to believe, well, they want to believe. So many people hang around the area of Area 51 that State Route 375, which runs along the edge of the area, is now officially designated the Extraterrestrial Highway, which has been a boon to the tiny town of Rachel, Nevada, located about halfway along its 98-mile length. Back in July 2019, someone posted a joke event on Facebook that people were going to gather in Nevada and storm Area 51 on September 20th. The event's tagline was, "They can't stop all of us." 2 million people marked that they were going to the event, and so two music festivals sprung up, Alienstock instead of Woodstock, and Storm Area 51 Base Camp. Unfortunately for the organizers, only about 3,000 people showed up for these two festivals. As for storming the gates, only 150 people showed up for that, and a few got themselves arrested. This was all far less serious than an incident that occurred on January 28th that same year. A man blew through a security checkpoint near the town of Mercury, which is a closed village, meaning no one actually lives there and it's just a buffer zone for the base. This led to an 8-mile-long car chase as the man tried to get onto the Area 51 base proper. When he finally stopped his vehicle, he got out holding, quote, a cylindrical object. He was ordered to drop it and step away, but he refused, and so security officers and sheriff's deputies opened fire, resulting in his death. In 2008, a 7,500-page government report about nuclear waste mentioned a place near the Yucca Mountain Nuclear Waste Repository, about 25 miles southwest of Groom Lake. This small base was designated Area 6, and the report said it was also an aerial operations facility. Apparently, they mainly test unmanned vehicles, drones, in other words. And yes, it is super top secret, and no, you cannot go there. The Sign. The Sign. That's a 1993 techno-reggae Europop pop ballad that went platinum from Swedish pop group Ace of Base. While we're still out west, we should take a look at Edwards Air Force Base in Southern California. This is where the first American jet plane, the Bell P-59, made its first flight, and where Chuck Yeager and other pilots who had the right stuff tested out various experimental craft. On October 14, 1947, Yeager broke the sound barrier for the very first time in the Bell X-1. Many of these pilots would later be considered for the Mercury and Apollo astronaut programs. A component of Edwards is Plant 42, located at the Palmdale Regional Airport north of Los Angeles. This is a manufacturing facility for various aircraft projects, and today, Site 10 in the complex is home to the notorious Lockheed Skunk Works. This division of the company develops various black projects like the U-2, the SR-71 Blackbird, the Lockheed L-1011 passenger jet, the X-15, the XB-70, orbiters, cockpits for space shuttles, and much more. Before turning towards the eastern half of the country, though, we should stop off in New Mexico. Of course, the Trinity site is there, out in the desert, where the very first atomic explosion took place as part of the Manhattan Project. Near the southeastern edge of the city of Albuquerque, there's Kirtland Air Force Base. Back in 1957, air traffic controllers saw a white light bop around. They made radar contact with it. It then descended to runway 26, now a dark object, hovered, and then traveled along a few feet above the ground. Controllers looked at it through binoculars and saw it was 15 to 20 feet tall and shaped like an egg on its end. It scooted to the edge of the base, then shot upwards at great speed. It then stopped and hung around in the air a bit, at one point running station behind a C-46 that was flying through the area, and then finally it left. All told, the tower had radar contact for 20 whole minutes. Project Blue Book looked into it and concluded it was an unusual private aircraft that they had somehow misidentified. In 1979, a local high-tech electronics business owner and UFO fan named Paul Benowitz, who lived right next to Kirtland, saw some strange lights and noticed he was getting odd radio signals on his super cool tech that he had in his house. He reported all this to the base, wondering if maybe he was accidentally picking up on some of their broadcasts. Shortly after this, two men in black showed up and began menacing him. Over the years, he somehow got a sprawling, complicated narrative in his head involving warring alien factions, abductions, cattle mutilations, a secret alien base at Dulce, New Mexico, where a hive-mind alien network lived and worked. You see, these aliens have been on Earth for 25,000 years, and our old tales of gods from Norse and Greek mythology are really just poorly recounted tales of things that they actually did way back when. Because he was onto them, agents of the aliens had started sneaking into his home while he was asleep and injecting him with chemicals. So he started buying and keeping lots and lots of guns. In 1988, his family had him committed to an asylum for a time where he received electroconvulsive therapy, and then he was released. He lived the life of a muttering recluse until his death in 2003 at age 75. This is a weird enough story on his own, but it's even weirder than that. A couple of guys, specifically Bill Moore, the Majestic 12 hoaxer, and a guy named Richard Doty, who claimed he was a special government agent, said that they had been tasked by the military to feed lies to Benowitz in order to drive him insane. Bill Moore, we've talked about, and Richard Doty is one of those UFO people who shows up in multiple scenarios and stories, always saying he was super high up in a secret hierarchy and very much in the know, but who almost certainly is just a guy who once manned a guard shack at an Air Force base who had a very active imagination. Now, this whole Benowitz story is told in detail in that previous episode, Scammers, Inc., which looks at Majestic 12 and also Project Serpo. Again, link in the episode notes. Always will. A 1998 single from Ace of Base's third album, Flowers, which went for straight pop sounds inspired by Motown. Heading east now, we get to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. It was built in 1917 on some old Indian burial mounds, classy, and has been an important part of military and aviation history ever since. The Northrop B-2 Spirit, commonly known as the Batman-like stealth bomber, was stationed out of here. Now, Roswell true believers say that maybe the alien bodies recovered in that 1947 crash are actually held here in Hangar 18. In 2022, the Air Force said Hangar 18 was being used to develop software for fighter aircraft. But UFO folks say that's a smokescreen for repurposing recovered alien tech. Some who are not UFO people think Hangar 18 or something like it may once have been the main center for the Technical Intelligence Organization, or T2, later christened as the Foreign Technology Division and today called the National Air and Space Intelligence Center. Now, whether this is in Hangar 18 or somewhere else at Wright-Patt, it is a real thing and employs more than 4,000 people with 4 intelligence analysis groups, 4 support directorates, and 18 squadrons. Heading further east, we get to the tip of Long Island in New York, where there's an abandoned facility called Camp Hero, which operated from 1942 to 1984. This place has been an area of wild speculation for many years in the conspiracy world, notably as the nerve center of the Montauk Project, a narrative that probably began with a novel in 1992 and then got spread as actual fact. That story is complex and has been gone over in great detail in a previous episode about the Philadelphia Experiment, but a brief summary can tell you that yes, the Philadelphia Experiment is involved, and that interdimensional portals have been opened here and scary, weird monsters came through. This is, in fact, the basis for the Netflix series Stranger Things. Also, illegal and immoral experimentation on children in order to enhance their psychic abilities and create superhumans, genetic and bioweapon experimentation at Lab 257 on nearby nearby Plum Island, which also involved creation and accidental, or maybe not accidental, release of Lyme disease and AIDS and Morgellons disease. That last thing is not a real thing, but some people think it is. Camp Hero may also be where the famous black helicopters were designed, where remote viewing was worked at, where the men in black were created in a lab, and oh, so very much more. Again, check out that Philadelphia Experiment episode for many of the juicy details. Another base you may have heard of is Mount Weather. Located in Virginia near a tiny place called Frogtown, it's technically called the Mount Weather Emergency Operations Center. Conceived of as a COG, or Continuity of Government Base, where high-ranking government folks could be evacuated in case a national emergency befell the country. After all, it's only an hour's drive or so east of the White House in D.C. During the 9/11 attacks in 2001, most Congress leaders were taken here by helicopter, as possibly was Veep Dick Cheney. The site started in the 1800s as an actual weather station, but eventually became what it is today, which is being run by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. It's their main control station for the national radio system, which connects all federal safety and military organizations. Now, no one outside the government had heard of Mount Weather until TWA Flight 514 crashed into the mountain on December 1st, 1974, killing all 92 people. And then suddenly, reporters got wind of it. This location is where the climactic finale of the X-Files series took place and is also featured in the not very good recent remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still, as well as the books and TV series The 100 and the show Z Nation. It's shown up in several novels, and crazy as a beg bub father of the 90s militia movement, William Milton Cooper mentions it in his nutso Behold a Pale Horse. Mount Weather and other continuity of government locations are talked about at length in the excellent 2020 Vice documentary series While the Rest of Us Die, narrated by Jeffrey Wright. In Adams County, Pennsylvania, down near the state line with Maryland, there's another nuclear bunker called Site R, part of the Raven Rock Mountain Complex. It's very similar to Mount Weather and is also a COG facility. Some say it was here that Dick Cheney was taken after 9/11, not Mount Weather. It is illegal for anyone to take a photo, make a drawing, sketch, map, or other graphical representation of the Raven Rock Complex without express written permission. Unlike Mount Weather, the existence of which had been kept secret till that 1974 plane crash, people in government have known about Raven Rock for ages. In fact, some have called it one of the worst kept secrets in America. In the Fallout video games, Raven Rock is the HQ of the Enclave, the post-apocalypse government, kind of. And in the 2013 movie Oblivion, starring Tom Cruise, it's used as a rebel base against invading aliens. Never gonna say I'm sorry. This reggae fusion pop single from Ace of Base's second album, The Bridge, also has a rock version, which includes some elements of industrial music. About 25 miles due south of Raven Rock, there's Fort Detrick, a United States Army Futures Command installation in the town of Frederick, Maryland. The USFMC runs modernization projects for the Army, and its headquarters is in Austin, Texas. Fort Detrick is still an active base, though it got shut down for a spell back in 2019. It's probably most famous or notorious for being the center of U.S. AMRID, the United States Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, the main facility for defense research into biological warfare countermeasures. It's also home to USA MURDOC, the United States Army Medical Research and Development Command, the Army's Biodefense Agency, and it hosts the National Cancer Institute, the National Interagency Confederation of Biological Research, the National Center for Medical Intelligence, and several other medically themed agencies and groups. Now, the fort was built back in 1931 on a plot of land simply called Area A that had once been five farms, but it has grown since into a monstrously huge place. During World War II, this was the main center for bioweapons research and later chemical weapons. This place was so secret that no one, not directly in its activities, even heard about it until January 1946, 4.5 months after Japan surrendered. During the post-war Project Paperclip, which involved getting a bunch of former Nazi scientists and some Japanese out of the trouble they found themselves in exchange for working for the Americans, 1,600 scientists and engineers were brought to the U.S., many of them sent here to Detrick. Some went to work in Building 470, nicknamed Anthrax Tower by some, and by those with a darker sense of humor, Fort Doom. As you can imagine, a bunch of Nazis were probably not very squeamish, and it would come out in 1994 that between 1940 and 1974, hundreds of thousands of experiments were conducted using live human subjects. The main program was called Operation White Coat. The White Coats, as the participants were called, were enlisted men who were also conscientious objectors, often Seventh-day Adventists. So they were told that, look, if you're not going to fight, you could maybe serve this way. Documents say everybody who participated was a volunteer and they'd all been fully briefed on what may or may not happen to them. Well, they were certainly briefed later after a sit-down strike by volunteers in the early days occurred in which they refused to do any more work until they received more information. The experiments involved things like using insects to transmit disease vectors like yellow fever, dropping biohazardous material from airplanes onto subjects, and so on. This continued until Nixon banned offensive biological research in 1969, though many projects weren't wound down until 73 or 74. In 1970, a CIA scientist managed to somehow get 11 grams of shellfish toxin from people at Fort Detrick, despite Nixon's orders that such stockpiles be destroyed. The scientists had been working for the MK-Naomi program, a DOD-CIA joint operation that focused on biological warfare agents and may have been a follow-up to MK-Ultra. MK-Naomi had also been ordered shut down the previous year. In the late 80s, Russian-born biology professor Jakob Siegel started spreading the idea that HIV/AIDS had been an engineered virus developed at Fort Detrick. This narrative would get picked up and elaborated on by many in the conspiracy ecosystem, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr. However, it would later come out that Dr. Siegel had been recruited into Operation Infection. The Americans, when they found out about it, renamed it Operation Denver. Operation Infection / Denver was a Soviet disinformation campaign to spread the idea that the U.S. government had let something dangerous escape a lab, accidentally or on purpose, so as to undermine U.S. credibility and also distract people from the Soviets' own bioweapons research. In 2009, it was discovered that disposal areas for various substances being handled at Detrick had leached into the groundwater. Like TCE, a degreasing solvent, over 100 families in the nearby town of Frederick got ill, and in 2015, a bunch of them got together to file a class action lawsuit for $750 million. I could not find out if that suit has gone anywhere. But we do know the CDC investigated and found that there had been two major containment breaches. In August 2019, the labs were ordered closed and cleaned up, and then they got the green light to reopen 8 months later. They are still open.
Over the years, Detrick has housed not only all the things already mentioned, but bubonic plague, monkeypox, and Ebola.
Don't turn around. This was originally a 1986 Tina Turner song and then covered by Luther Ingram, Oswald, Bonnie Tyler, Eyes, and Neil Diamond before Ace of Base got a hold of it to do a reggae fusion synth pop cover. Along the Potomac River, about 11 miles south of D.C. and 5 miles south of Alexandria in Virginia, there's Fort Hunt. Built in 1897 to defend the nation's capital, it's now a small town and a public park. The fort operated until the 70s or so, and many of the buildings were added to the National Register of Historic Places, all grouped together as the Fort Hunt Historic District. Now, during World War II, Fort Hunt housed an intelligence facility so secret, it was only known as P.O. Box 1142. This was run by the wartime Military Intelligence Service, which had two branches called MISX and MISY. X looked into various evasion and escape techniques used by POWs held by the U.S. and Europe, and Y interviewed POWs. This was P.O. Box 1142, their mailing address, an important part of Operation Paperclip. Heinz Schlicke, who invented infrared detection technology, was a prisoner here, as was Weimar and then Nazi spymaster Reinhard Gehlen. Rocket scientist Wernher von Braun was here before being sent to work off for the Americans, notably on the space program in the 1960s with NASA. Werner Henke, commander of U-boat 515, was kept here, but staged and escaped and was shot and killed while trying to climb a fence. All told, between 1942 and 1946, more than 3,400 prisoners were interrogated here. 500 of them were scientists that were part of Paperclip. No physical torture was used, though they did use psychological tricks like having a bunch of Russian-speaking army personnel dress up in captured Soviet uniforms, and the Americans would then threaten to turn the prisoner over to the Soviets unless they came clean. This whole operation yielded more than 150,000 pages of reports and transcripts. There was a similar operation conducted at Camp Tracy, but with Japanese POWs. And the British had a department which did basically the same thing as P.O. Box 1142, which they designated MI9. Near Williamsburg, Virginia, there's Camp Peary, home to the Armed Forces Experimental Training Activity. Part of that training is what's known colloquially as The Farm, the famous CIA training facility. This is a fake little town which purports to be located in the country of Veritania. Over an intensive three-week course, potential operatives were trained in various spy techniques like lockpicking, field triage of wounds using commonplace items, hot-wiring cars, parachuting, using a Glock semi-automatic, and how to operate various vehicles like a speedboat. It's all very James Bond stuff. They were also subjected to having their cover blown, being hunted and captured, deprived of sleep, interrogated, undergoing mock executions, tainted food, and much, much more. It was all rather morally questionable, and after Watergate took down the Nixon administration, there was suddenly a lot more scrutiny on what exactly the CIA was getting up to, and so they shut it down. Or so they say. All That She Wants. This synth-pop Euro-disco single from Ace of Base's first album was what catapulted them to international fame, going all the way to number one on the weekly charts in 13 countries. Down south, you've got the Anniston Chemical Agent Disposal Facility in Alabama, which once held 7% of all the chemical weapons in the U.S. stockpile. They started destroying all this stuff in 2003, starting with less harmful things and then moving on to scary stuff like VX nerve agent and mustard gas. The whole process took 8 years, but it all got destroyed, and then the facilities were dismantled in 2013. Lastly, we head down to Florida and Naval Air Station Jacksonville. Hangar 511 is the largest hangar the Navy has, able to store 33 Lockheed Sea Orions, huge four-engine anti-submarine and maritime surveillance craft, four Lockheed C-130 Hercules, which are four-engine turboprop military transports, and a full helicopter unit. When it's finished, the Boeing P-18 Poseidon with a 120-foot wingspan will also be kept there. Hangar 511 is one of only three hangars of any sort that has received LEED Silver certification. The southern wall is made of a translucent polymer called Cowwall that lets in natural light, reducing the need for electricity during the day, and also uses mega doors, huge fabric curtains that are pulled up and down like window blinds. Each of these two fabric doors, possibly the largest ever made, are 60 feet tall and 450 feet long. So, it's not all mystery, disaster, rumor, torture, and chemical weapon. Wheel of Fortune. This reggae-flavored dance-pop song was actually the first single Ace of Base released, but it didn't take off until their second single, All That She Wants, became a hit. Now, any articles or web pages you come across about underwater bases are almost certainly fiction. There are some plans for some, but so far none have been built. But there are things called deep underground military bases. Or are there? We've already talked about Cheyenne Mountain and Raven Rock and other things that can be considered to be underground. And yet some experts postulate why there could be underground bases all over the world. Maybe as many as 10,000, says one guy. But are any of these real? The U.S. military says, no, this is a wild conspiracy theory that pops up from time to time, embedded in other conspiracy theories. In fact, they were talked about briefly in an earlier episode about the Denver airport. It was all probably started by a guy who says his name is James Casbolt, and who also, he says, used to work for MI6. He says there are 4,000 such dumbs all over the world. Originally, he said that many of them were connected and being used to smuggle drugs to fund various black ops intelligence programs. The CIA and MI6 collectively control 95% of all drug trade worldwide. But then later he said they some of them were being used as terrestrial bases by extraterrestrials. Then he, or someone who liked what he was saying, started putting it out there that DUMs are actually being used to conduct a secret war between a human-led group codenamed Aquarius and another alien-friendly group called COM-12. Also, the International Pedophile Ring uses these tunnels and bases to traffic children. Some are for their own use, and others are to supply sacrifices to their reptilian alien overlords. Oh, and these underground bases are also the source of all earthquakes. I mean, it all has to have started off as a joke, right? I mean, it's right there in the name, DUMS. And yet, there are some people out there on the web who sure seem to believe some or all of it. But I hope this little survey of U.S. military installations has shown you that you don't need to make things up in order to find interesting, sometimes tragic stories clustered around military bases. When looking at the conspirasphere, I can't say that truth is stranger than fiction, since some of these narratives are pretty wild, but the truth is plenty strange enough for most of us.
Thank you for visiting the Conspiracy Clearinghouse. We're closing now, but we'll open another crate in the next episode. Until then, thank you for listening.